So let's pick apart this a little bit. We'll start with Paul.
This trial is extremely important because it speaks to the heart of a somewhat of a scattergram of clinical treatment approach by doctors of premenopausal breast cancer at the moment. I think that there's been a widespread use of ovarian function suppression and aromatase inhibitors in premenopausal ER-positive breast cancer patients, extrapolated from the value of the AIs in postmenopausal disease. And I think what this data is saying and what is important is that the hormonal status of a woman when she gets breast cancer is what's driving the risk of recurrence and what's driving the risk of micrometastasis, etc. So what this data says to me is that the ovarian function suppression is the key adjuvant therapy in premenopausal women. And at the moment, there's no separation of which of the drugs you couple to that, but there's a profound reduction in recurrence from ovarian function suppression. So I'm not sure doctors should be using ovarian function suppression and AIs in the higher risk premenopausal women as opposed to ovarian function suppression plus tamoxifen in those women at this point.
So Dan, on the other hand, our patterns of care studies show consistently that tamoxifen alone without ovarian suppression or ablation is the most common endocrine therapy premenopausal women in the United States. Do we need to rethink that?
Well, I think we are. Of course, this trial doesn't address that issue. And that's the whole point of the ongoing SOFT trial, which is continuing to accrue, and I believe we'll reach full accrual as far as we can tell. And I agree with Paul. I think the jury is out. By the way, I don't think that this trial hammers down that complete estrogen depletion is not better than using a SERM. It certainly suggests that. But there are ways to interpret this. One of those is that we don't know, because they didn't check, how effective the casserolin is. Now, they gave it monthly, so one would expect it was effective. But there are data, in fact, that women who have ovarian suppression can overcome that suppression by giving them an aromatase inhibitor. And, in fact, this is also true women who have had ovarian dysfunction because of chemotherapy and appear to be amenorrheic can certainly regain menstrual cycles and even regain estrogen levels without menstrual cycles. So I think there's a lot more to be learned here. My bias is that complete estrogen depletion is more effective than simple ovarian suppression or a SERM. My bias is it will have other health effects in the long run, like osteoporosis and heart disease, and I think that's the whole point of SOFT and TEX and Perquet.
So right now, Dan, multiple node-positive patient, will you offer ovarian suppression, and with what, if anything?
I would offer that patient a chance to be part of the SOFT trial,
of course,
because I don't know the answer. I think tamoxifen alone is a reasonable approach, but I think ovarian suppression and tamoxifen is also a reasonable approach.
I'm curious, Andy, also, I was talking to Mike Nant, we interviewed him at ASCO about the paper, and one of the things that he pointed out is that they also observed fewer endometrial cancers and deep vein thrombosis, as you might expect in that study. And the question comes up, if it turns out in the long run it does play out, that in terms of cancer recurrence, let's say an AI plus ovarian suppression is not any different than ovarian suppression and tamoxifen, would the side effects differential at least offer patients another option that might be considered?
Yeah, I think you need to consider the full spectrum of potential side effects. And for me, the one that I tend to hear about most on these follow-up visits after adjuvant therapy are arthralgias. And I know we'll get into that later, but the spectrum includes endometrial cancers, bone density issues, certainly thromboembolic events. I think it's a conglomerate of all of these that will influence practice.